T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining me right now, I haven't talked to this guy in God knows how long. Actually, it's been 7 days, and that is Justin Termini, the face and voice of SiriusXM's NBA Radio. How's the week been, JT?
I maybe need to set the alarm clock now. It's just, it's just mentally ingrained that I got to talk to you every 7 days.
No, I know, and I'm not even paying you. I mean, it's amazing. It really is incredible.
That's okay, because I go out, I tell the ladies now when I'm jogging in the park, I'm 6 feet away, but I tell them I work for WFAN right now, and it works a lot better than telling them I work for Sirius. So,
so
that's the payoff.
That's why I do it for you. Number one, because this took me by surprise, and I had to really figure out what the hell was going on. Spencer Dinwiddie auctioning off his free agent services. Are you aware of what Spencer is doing? And if you are, what the heck are your thoughts on this going on with Dinwiddie?
Yeah, so the season's going to continue. He's going to come back, and he's talking about playing for another organization. I mean, that's what it seems to me, right? And then, like, what if he auctions himself off and the team doesn't want him? Like, what if they tell him, all right, go sign with the Los Angeles Lakers? Lakers are like, we're all set at the guard position. I guess the Lakers would be a team that needs him, but you get the point. I mean, what if they tell him to go sign with Golden State? All right, the Golden State's going to want him. He's going to play ahead of Steph and Clay out there. So, I mean, it's very confusing to me. But the NBA, you would think, is going to have to do something like this with their new CBA. And then he's asking for money, Evan. Think about this. They're like, what? How many millions of people are out of work? And Spencer Dinwiddie is saying, hey, let's start a GoFundMe for me? I mean, that's insanity.
Well, because at first, I don't understand Bitcoin. I don't know about you. I've tried to figure it out. I really don't understand what the hell Bitcoin is and cryptocurrencies and all that. But it sounds as if he doesn't get to the $24 million, that every dime goes to charity. And that part's great. That part's fantastic. It sounds like this is a great, you know, charitable endeavor by Spencer Dinwiddie. But if he gets to the $24 million, he's keeping the money. So to your point, he's just raised money for himself to then go sign with a team that may not necessarily want him. And what bothers me is that there is no way in the world people are voting for him to stay with the Brooklyn Nets. It's not possible. So he knows that, so he's gone.
Would you want him if this is what he's doing? Would you even want him? I mean, it's crazy. And then again, there's so many different layers that are like stunning and shocking. At the top of the list is an NBA player in this type of economy, in this type of world, asking for people to give him money, which to me is nuts. And I will not be giving him any money.
How much trade value does Spencer Dinwiddie have on the open market in your mind?
No, I think he's got plenty, right? He's got a contract that is team friendly because he signed it last year when he probably could have got a lot more money. And I felt he was the best guard in Brooklyn this year. All the talk about Kyrie Irving, I felt probably like maybe 35 games into the season, 30 games into the season, I probably even tweeted it out somewhere. So there's like a footprint there on social media that he should be an all-star. Then he dipped a little bit, but I think he's that good. I mean, he's a really good player.
Yeah, no, I love Spencer. He's probably my favorite player on the team. I just think that the Nets are probably going to go stargazing. They're going to go hunting for a third star to put next to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And I think I would trade him before I would trade Karras, because I don't think we've seen the top of LeVert's game. I think we have with Dinwiddie. So I think that there's a really good chance, you know, Bitcoin or not, auctioning his services off or not, I think there's a really good chance the Nets trade him during the offseason.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Karis LeVert's the better player, and he's got the higher ceiling.
Yep.
So if I had to choose, now if you're going to like create a deal where I hear all this Bradley Beal stuff or the next big, Karl Anthony Towns, like the next stars that might come a little bitter, like you'll need to get rid of both of them, right? You're going to have to give up Karis LeVert in order to get one of those guys. But I agree. If I only have to give up one, I'm giving up Dinwiddie.
You know, as we watch sports look to reopen, and Adrian Wojnarowski wrote a great article about it yesterday concerning how there is such belief in Adam Silver from both the owners and the players, he really looks far and away to be the most competent commissioner and the most trusted commissioner in sports, because you see the issues in baseball, the distrust between the players and Rob Manfred, and Rob Manfred comes across like just another owner, not like the commissioner. Why, in your mind, over the 6 years that Adam Silver has run the NBA, has he earned that kind of trust with the players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because he allows the players to some extent to run the league, right? I mean, he gives in to them in almost every single major clause, or at least he makes like a little concession, right? Like, all right, you don't want four games in five nights? We'll eliminate that. You want less back-to-backs? All right, we'll give you that. You want an extended all-star break? We'll give you that. So now, I think you also have to be careful not to go too far. I don't think he's done that yet, but at some point it could be where the, like, a tipping point. He's got to be the one that decides. Like, listen, if he feels the season needs to come back and the owners want the season to come back, he can't just be the players by themselves making the call, right? It can't be that meeting where you've got LeBron and Chris Paul and you know, whoever else was on that meeting, and Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, like making the call. I think it's got to be something where they do it together, but I think it's because he gives the players a voice.
It does seem like the players want to play. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a mix. You hear with baseball, and a part of it's money, a part of it's safety, kind of this, hey, I'm not sure. It does. I get the impression that most NBA players, especially the ones on playoff teams for obvious reason, are motivated to restart this season relatively soon.
Yeah, and I do find it amusing that we start to get this uptick in the conversation with that in regards to, hey, yesterday I believe that their contracts were cut, temporarily cut by 25%, and then if you don't have the postseason, I mean, it'll be cut up to 40%. So I think it coincided with these players yesterday getting a direct deposit and going, oh my God, like instead of getting, you know, $400,000, I got $100,000 or something like that. So I think that is opening up a lot of their eyes now as well.
Talking to Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio. I don't think any of these lists per se are perfect, but ESPN came out with their list. CBS Sports came out with their list. I thought it was interesting. Before we get to the egregious things, and there are egregious things we know, but the top six, I think, was completely uniform in order of who they went with. Michael, LeBron, Kareem, Russell, Magic, Wilt. Uniform. Just looking at that, would you agree with that top six, or do you have issues with that?
Well, I think they got it through eight. So I actually think they got all 10. Now, I don't agree with the order, right? But I've always said this. I think the top seven players in NBA history are Jordan, LeBron. And this is not an order, but Jordan, right. LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell, Magic, Wilt, and Bird. You can order those however you want. You want to put Wilt up at the top? Fine. You want to put Bird up there? You want to put Russell up there? Magic, Kareem? I got no issue with any of those guys. Then I think, like, Duncan is clearly the eighth, but he doesn't have it. Like, there's a gap between the first seven and then Duncan.
Right.
And then the same thing with, like, Kobe, who I think has become one of the more overrated players in NBA history. And then, obviously, you throw in his death, and I think that just expedited the fact that he was going to be overrated. But, you know, and I feel bad for saying that, but bottom line is, even prior to his death, like, there's no way you can argue he's a top five player. You can argue he's, like, 8 through 12, 8 through 15. You can't do top five. I think they nailed the top seven or eight, just no particular order.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you on that one. The one thing that it's tricky, not really LeBron, because LeBron's been in the NBA for a million years, is how you handle the current players and where you put them. Steph Curry has already entered, to me, I don't know if you agree, that territory of being a top 20 player. You know, maybe he shouldn't be 13, I'm not sure, but I think he's done enough, especially with the way he's changed the game. I made this point the other day that kids are shooting the basketball from long range because of Steph Curry. They're out there on their lawn or their yard or wherever they have the hell at. You could shoot a basketball nowadays because you can't do it at a park. They want to be Steph. I think he's changed the game in a way that very few guys have. So I'm with him on being a top 20 guy. But how many of the current players do you look at as being a part of that, you know, pantheon of all-time greats already?
Yeah, already, and, you know, possibly is, I think, a couple of different questions, but I agree with you on Steph being in there. He's got two MVPs. He's got a championship on two of the all-time great teams, or three of the all-time great teams of all time. And you can argue him the second-best point guard behind Magic. I mean, Isaiah's in the mix. Oscar's in the mix, which could certainly put up there number two. Like, coming out of college, I never would have put Steph in that category. I would have said that three different NBA players had a chance to be all-time greats, right? I would say that LeBron, Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis all had an opportunity to be like top 15 players in the history of the sport. I guess right now you're going to have to say Antetokounmpo as well, right? Because he's going to win his second MVP here at the age of 25 this season. So I think he has that argument as well, where he could be a top 15 player of all time. So I think it's Steph. I think it's Anthony Davis got the chance. LeBron's obviously already there. Durant's got the opportunity. And then Antetokounmpo. So the list is four or five guys.
But, and that's the key. Has a chance. Like, when I'm looking at ESPN's list, as great as Giannis is, and you're right, when it's all said and done, he could be a top 15 player of all time. I got a tough time looking at Giannis Antetokounmpo on a list ahead of some Hall of Famers. I mean, he's ahead of Bob Cousy. He's ahead of Rick Barry.
I'm going to talk with Rick Barry on Monday. And like I had, so Rick, I got very close with a couple of years ago. I think he's immensely underrated. And we're going to talk about his 1975 performance on the show on Monday. Rick being at 43 is an absolute atrocity. And that's the other thing. Like, Rick is completely underrated. He plays the same position as Dr. J, okay? They played during the same era. Dr. J, for some reason, gets the respect. He was put at number 14. I'm sorry, he is not the player that Rick Barry is. Rick Barry's the better player, but for some reason, it got lost in translation. Barry's at 43, and, you know, even Havlicek's at 33. Havlicek's 8-0 in the NBA Finals. He's one of the great players in the history of the sport. He's behind Giannis Antetokounmpo already. I mean, that's a joke.
That's the problem with Giannis. I mean, I can't put Giannis Antetokounmpo, as great as he is, ahead of Hall of Famers. He's ahead of a bunch of Hall of Famers.
He's 25. I mean, my God.
I know it. And look, when he's 30, when he's 35, and we redo these lists, we're probably talking about him as a top 15 player. I agree with that. He's
exactly
on his way, but he's not there yet at 25 years old.
And that's the issue with the media, is they just constantly disrespect the past. Like, and they're like, oh, what I'm watching right now is the greatest of all. Now, listen, Giannis is great. Can he accomplish something for at the age of 20? Like, listen, 2 years at Magic Johnson, right? Today's the anniversary of his rookie year when he gave you the 42 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists and jumped center with Kareem out hurt. Nobody after the first game said, all right, he's better than Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. They said, hey, he's got the possibility of being there someday, but not immediately. If he played in today's era, people go, he's better than Michael Jordan if it happened today. It's amazing.
Here's the guy, and we're talking to Justin Termini, that I have a tough time. I don't know where to put this guy because no one remembers him. Forget about us. Forget about anybody older than us. And that's a guy like George Mikan, because he didn't lose in the NBA Finals. I think he was 5 for 5. He was the first true star in the early days of basketball, and he's ranked at 34. What do you do with a guy like George Mikan? Would you have him considerably higher?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, this is how I've always said it. I've used Russell as, like, people say modern day NBA started with, like, Magic and Bird. I actually say it started with Bill Russell. So Russell comes into the league in 1957. That's right around they started handing out the first MVP as well with Bob Pettit. I'll count Bob Pettit because he actually did beat Russell for a championship, even though Russell was compromised with the ankle injury, and he actually had a 50-point game, what, in Game 6 of the 1958 NBA Finals. So, like, I use that almost as the cutoff. I'm with you. Like, I don't know what to do with a guy like him, like Dolph Shays. Like, how do you view that? Even Bob Cousy is very difficult. Now, Cousy, you know, also got into that era of, you know, 57, 58, 59, played through, I think, 63. He's got 6 championships. But, yeah, Dolph Shays, guys like George Mikan, it's very difficult.
We're talking to Justin Termini. How good, and this is an impossible question, I admit that, how good of a baseball player would Jordan have been if he actually said, I'm never going back to the NBA. There isn't a work stoppage, and I'm going to keep playing? Because I thought that The Last Dance kind of let it out there of, he would have made the major leagues. How do you feel about that? You think Jordan really would have been that good enough to get there?
Don't you kind of think that's an insult to all the Major League Baseball players that, like, poured their life into it? That's the way I would look at it. We had Jerry Hairston on. He's like a Jordan historian. You fought him on Twitter. He's like a psychopath with his stuff. I mean, he is all over Jordan nonstop. He thinks he would have made the NBA. His grandfather did a lot of work with him, Jerry Hairston's grandfather. And, of course, they've got the whole family that's been involved in baseball at some point. And he said to us that he felt Jordan could have got to Major League Baseball if he stuck with it. I think Terry Francona has said the same thing. But let's be honest. I mean, he hit 200, so it would have taken him a while. What do you think? Do you think he would have made it?
No, I don't think he would. I think the only way he would have made it is if they said, let's make him a September call-up because he's Michael Jordan. I'm talking about earning it to the major leagues. I don't think so. And a part of it is because he started in his 30s. Look, we've seen Tim Tebow do something, I don't want to say similar, because it's not similar. He wasn't the greatest football player out of his time, but he committed to baseball. And I give him credit for that. And Tebow's gotten better, but Tim Tebow's nowhere close to being a major leaguer. And Tim Tebow was one hell of an athlete, you know? I think if Michael played baseball, you know, in high school and college, it's a different argument. Now he's doing it his entire life. But to think he would have eventually made it in his 30s, I lean towards no. And I think a part of the reason why you've got guys saying yes is because he's Michael Jordan, and they want to believe that that competitor, one of the all-time great competitors in team sports history, that he could have done anything he set his mind to. And I just don't think that's the case when you look at a sport like baseball. So my answer is no.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, I mean, you want to talk about guys that actually could do it. Dave Winfield could have played two sports. Right? Bo Jackson did. John Havlicek, played at Ohio State, and who's got drafted by the Browns. Like, oh, Danny Ainge with the Blue Jays and the Celtics. John Elway. Like, the list is longer. They're the guys that could play two sports. Jordan, I don't think, was one of them. Maybe if he started in his, you know, teens or 20s, fine, but he didn't.
Any issue, because it was discussed here in New York, of the documentary, you know, talking about the 94 Chicago Bulls, how well they played without Michael. Obviously, they got into the Pippen thing, but no mention of the Hugh Hollins call. I mean, they glossed over the conclusion of Game 5 as if it never happened. Any problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, they did the same thing in a couple of different, like you saw the 93 series, right, where they almost beat him in the Charles Smith stuff, and Jordan played horribly in Game 3, and they didn't address that at all either. I think it was 3 of 18. So they left out any type of stuff that made him kind of look bad. And, again, Jordan's got complete control over this. This is why Jerry Krause, they're allowed to drag him through the mud, and Jordan comes out smelling like roses. Scottie Pippen doesn't like the way that he's been portrayed, nor should he. I mean, Pippen comes off looking horrible. But, again, Pippen didn't have control over the documentary. Jordan did. So do I have, like, journalistic issues with it? Yeah, but I think we understand it's not about that. It's just about Jordan giving his side of the story.
And look, with Pippen, this is on Scottie Pippen, because I was surprised. And maybe you're not. Maybe you've talked to him about this over the years. I haven't heard Pippen talk very much about the Kukoc situation over the years. I don't know if he has. But for him to admit, I would have done the same thing again, even looking back at it, that's Scottie Pippen making himself look bad.
Oh, my God. First of all, when it happens in the moment, it is by far and away the most selfish thing that has ever taken place by a superstar athlete, okay? So a big-time athlete in a situation, like, it's the most selfish thing. You're thinking, like, all right, 26 years later, he probably feels differently about it, right? Then he says, then he doubles down on it, and now he's upset that he's being portrayed bad. Scotty, you had the ability to come out there and say, hey, I felt bad about it. It's something I regret. If I had to do it over again, there's no way I would. Like, of course people are going to think you came off bad because you doubled down on it. And not only that, earlier in the documentary, Evan, he says, you know what? I wasn't going to ruin my summer in order to get this surgery. Like, so twice he came out and threw himself under the bus.
Yeah, well, look, there's a part of you that respects his honesty, but you can't then complain that you look bad when you're doing it yourself.
Yeah, I agree. He had the opportunity to walk it back. He didn't. They asked him the question. It's not like they, you know, Jerry Krause here, where they made look bad and then give him an opportunity to defend himself. They gave Pippen the opportunity to defend himself. He knew that question had to be coming. It's not like it came out of left field. It's a big part of his legacy, and he still answered it wrong.
Does it bother you that Michael Jordan basically seems to laugh at all of his opponents? And you know, when Gary Payton is taking credit for defending him at the end of the NBA Finals in 1996, that, you know, Michael Jordan is cracking up. I had no problem with the glove. Like, almost as if it's the dumbest idea ever to suggest that the glove gave him any kind of trouble. Does that bother you at all or no?
No, I love it. In fact, I'm like Pippen's come off looking bad in this. Jordan said at the outset, right? I think that some people are going to think I look bad. I actually can't find everything he's done has made me like him more. I love that. He won. He gets to laugh, right? History books are written by those that win. And the other thing is, like, I've gone through the levels, right? Where I'm working side by side with somebody, I'm competing with somebody to be on NBA radio, right? I beat them out. Guess what I did about it? I laughed about it. I laughed in their face. I beat them. I hold that right. If they wanted to laugh in my face, they should have worked harder. Jordan has the right to laugh. I love it.
Well said. JT, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. It's a highlight of my weekend every week here.
Me too. What a coincidence. Thank you, Justin. It's actually not the highlight of my weekend.
Well, it is mine. And that's
okay. You're still there. Great. No, I'm kidding. Have a good weekend, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.